You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Yes, indeedy. We're just going to get straight into it. It was our first time chatting this year, so it was very good to hear from him. Happy New Year. It's good to talk to you.
You too. Yeah. Feels like the year sort of went underway already.
I know. It happens so fast, doesn't it?
Sure does.
So let's start generally about how you're feeling about 2020. What's your sort of feelings at this point going ahead to the election now that the date's been announced?
Yeah, I think it gives everybody something to focus on now. We have a pretty clear target. But from my point of view as part of government, as the minister in a government, that is really starting to tackle with some of the pretty big problems that we've got. And knowing it takes time to make significant change, I'm really pleased with where we're at. I'm really pleased with the issues that, as a government, we've identified ourselves with. I'm pleased that as a genuinely MMP coalition government, we've held together really well. And I think what's different in the last 2.5 years compared to previous coalition governments is that the smaller parties, their support has held up right throughout. And I think it shows that, you know, there was give and take. There's a lot of negotiation, and I think that's what New Zealanders wanted out of MMP. So, look, from my point of view, we go into 2020. You never get complacent or arrogant about it, but I think we in part have a degree of confidence that we've made a good start in addressing some really serious problems.
Some speculation is given that there's been some holdback for you to do the full extent of change and reform that was necessary. If you got in on a second term, do you think that your government would sort of accelerate that change that needs to happen?
Well, I mean, look, the nature of politics is that, you know, when governments form, each one is different. And you do what you can with the arrangements that you've got. So, you know, we've got, in this government, obviously the Labor Party is the centrepiece to it, and we have New Zealand First and the Green Party, both occupy different parts of the political spectrum, but the way government is managed is everybody's got to be kept in the tent, and that means there's a lot of give and take. So I think the days of promising that, yep, we're going to have kind of radical change very quickly. You know, the reason why New Zealanders voted for MEP in 1993 is that they didn't want that. They wanted transparency and negotiation. They wanted change to be at a pace that you know, was humanly possible. So that is the nature of government in New Zealand. That said, you know, we've made some pretty big commitments about dealing with some pretty big and important issues. Climate change, you know, foremost amongst them. But actually, you know, things like what we're doing in health, what we're doing in education. The sort of work that Chris Hipkins is doing in education has been phenomenal. It's all along foundations at this point because the payback, we won't see for another 7 or 8 years. In the criminal justice area, we're making a start. But you know, we know that criminal justice is a hot-button issue for particularly the, you know, right-wingers, and National's made it pretty clear. They want that to become an election issue. So we'll manage that carefully. But I think most New Zealanders know that things in that area need to change because we're just not doing very well. But people want to know that as we make change, community safety is the top priority, and that's the way we're approaching it. And I think there will be change, but it'll be a New Zealand style of change at a pace that people can live with.
From my perspective, it's pretty impossible for us to have change without voters fully understanding what, you know, you referenced 1993 being, you know, significant change. But do we have sufficient civics education for everyone to partake in that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think, you know, certainly in Labor, we always say, look, we need to do better in that civic education. I think, you know, we're very keen to see something rolled out, at least for those, you know, at school age sort of thing.
Will that be a policy this year?
Look, I think it is party policy, whether it's on the manifesto or those decisions are yet to be taken. But I think what's going to be really interesting in this election is what happens with the two referendum questions,
yeah,
and how the debate around that gets conducted. Yes, obviously there's some information that the government will put out as government, but it won't be necessarily the advocacy of the issues. It'll be up to the advocacy groups in the community to come out and do their stuff. And look, I think there are two issues too that also will become beacons for those who want to mislead and misrepresent and kind of manipulate, and we've got to be alert to that. But I think, you know, it'll be an interesting test, and to make sure that people can get access to good information and be well informed before they get to make their decisions on either of those referendum questions.
Yeah, most definitely. One of those referendum questions being obviously legalisation of cannabis. For me, I see that issue as extremely holistic in terms of our broken justice system, which you obviously were just in Geneva and spoke to the United Nations Human Rights Council about the fact that our justice system is broken. Do you want to touch on that experience a little bit for us?
Yeah, we routinely report to the various UN bodies, but that was, in a country like ours, in a treaty-based sort of country, and 15 to 16% of the population are Māori, but over 50% of our prison population, and in fact for women, over 60% of women in our prison are Māori. That tells you that there's something seriously wrong. And then when you have a look at things, you know, across all prisoners, reoffending rates and all the rest of it, and we had the report out yesterday saying high proportion of prisoners have head injuries or other cognitive issues going on, and all we do is lock them up and wonder why they, you know, they're not all making kind of rational decisions about how they live their lives. Well, of course they're not, and we're doing the wrong things if we want to change the people for the better and reduce offending. So that's, you know, and with the likes of Kelvin Davis as Corrections Minister, Stuart Nash as Minister of Police, we all totally line up on saying we've got to approach this differently. And in fairness to the Commissioner of Police, for Cameron, he has started a program about frontline policing, taking a different view about dealing with, you know, people who, you know, whether they're unwell or otherwise troubled, just, you know, arresting and throwing in a cell overnight is not the future, and we've got to change that outlook. So, you know, we're opposed to doing that. When it comes to the cannabis stuff, look, I think, you know, there's an issue there too about how cannabis is policed now. I think the question in the referendum will be, knowing that this is a substance that can cause harm, but equally can be consumed safely, is, you know, what do New Zealanders want? How do we want to do this? Do we want to say, look, we actually think we can regulate and control this in a way that we can minimise the harm and those who are using it safely continue to do so? Or do we just think the risks are too great? And that's going to be the choice that people are going to have to make.
Yeah. Obviously, the recommendations that come out of the Human Rights Council are not binding. I just wanted to raise, when I was in second year of anthropology, I learned about Foucault theory and how one of the quickest evolutions was changing from public torture to private imprisonment. And the concept was, you know, you lock someone up so you don't have to touch them, but you attack their soul. Yeah. If our justice system is broken, did prisons go wrong, or is its conception itself problematic and grounds for abolition?
I think there are people for whom prison is the best place. They're violent. They do know what they're doing. They're pathological. They're sociopaths. And actually, that's the best place for them. You know, you try transformation, all the rest of it. But the reality is, the vast majority of people who wind up in prison have a whole heap of other things going on. And it's usually, it is cognitive issues early in life. They've been beaten up at home, or they've been subject to violence. They've observed violence in the home, or they've got other genetic issues that means their brain hasn't developed. They drop out of school. They survive in whatever way they can. They end up engaging in criminal activity. When you look at, you know, those who engage in criminal activity in the gangs, young folks who are looking for a sense of identity, looking for economic security, they get it from the gang. So they get engaged in criminal activity. Now, we can actually do something about those people. The sociopaths and the people who are kind of pathologically just nasty and not very nice, there's probably not a great deal we can do except containment. But for the vast majority, there's better stuff we can do, and we should be doing it.
Mm-hmm. Let's finish on the ruling of the United Nations that governments cannot return people to countries where their lives might be threatened by climate change. The ruling acknowledges a legal basis for refugee protection. Will New Zealand start to incorporate this immediately? Because it seems about time.
Yeah, well, look, this is all under active consideration right now. In fact, Opito Williams-Seo, our Minister for Pacific Peoples, and also associated climate change, and he's got responsibility for, you know, our relationship with the Pacific Islands. And it's a bigger issue. So he is talking often about, and in fact, the policy work is going on about how we prepare ourselves for some islands that will be, you know, irreversibly affected by climate change.
Yeah.
And we are a natural place to welcome those people and make this their home. So that is under active consideration.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.